Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And boy, I love digging into the Word of God, especially in expository manner, just hitting verse by verse. It's really amazing how the Word of God just so comes alive to us. And tonight, I want us to find our place here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And would you please stand with me? We're going to get our exercise tonight. Up, down, sit down, all around, and this is good for a lot of us right now. Let's get back in shape. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I'm going to read verse number 5 this evening. We're going to move past this verse just a little bit as the Lord allows us and gives us time to be in the Word. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 1, and for those of you who are visiting with us, this is an in-depth study. This is part number 7 of this series. We've been looking at an in-depth study of 1 Thessalonians, and tonight I want us to look at verse number 5 and watch what the Bible says. It says this: "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." This evening, I want to once again look at the example church, the example church. You may be seated this evening. We've prayed several times, so we're going to jump right into this passage of Scripture. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the example church. We saw, first of all, this example church really was a strong church. Then we saw that this church was also strong in its conversion. Paul, remember, says that the Thessalonian church was a pattern. He says that they were examples, not only to the heathen, but also to other churches, to other believers. This is seen in, first of all, solid pastors. Solid pastors. You see, when Paul went to Thessalonica, he went for one purpose, and really that purpose was to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was to spread that gospel. It was to preach that gospel. Look at verse number 5 with me here in this passage. It says this: "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." Now, as we saw several weeks ago, we took a break from this past Wednesday to talk about heaven for a little bit. But remember, the gospel is in word. Essentially, it is a message from heaven. It deals with facts. Have you thought about that word or the definition of the gospel? You see, it reveals truth about God, and it reveals truth about man. It extends an invitation. It woos. It warns. People need to be told. But the gospel is not in word only. You see, Paul had not walked all the way from Philippi down to this Thessalonica church with a bleeding back because he had just been beaten. No, he didn't come there just to talk. But look what the Word of God says here. It says not in word only, but look at the next four words, but also in power. You see, friend, tonight, his message was in power. When Paul came down, he did not merely conduct a few meetings and then head out of town. No, you see, he fully expected that things were going to take off, that something was going to miraculously happen. When he came and began to preach, he knew that by God's power, souls were going to be saved, that lives would be changed, that churches would spring up, and that people were going to get angry once again, that Satan, again, in this town, just as other towns, would stir up that opposition against him. Thus, when he approached Thessalonica, he expected the explosive gospel to stir things up, just as it had in Philippi. However, his sincerity was not what produced these really incredible, spectacular results, but it was the Holy Spirit from start to finish. Look at verse number 5. It says, "For our gospel came unto you not only in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." I said it several weeks ago, and I just want to say it again. May we never become so schedule-oriented here, or that we become so by a schedule or by a calendar, or that we go so much by entertainment, or that we go by, well, we want this to happen, this to happen, this to happen, that if we're not careful, we will begin to schedule the Holy Spirit out. You and I, we come in and we meet with Him and we grow in the Lord and we grow in the Word of God. Now listen, watch very carefully. I know we're tired tonight, but I'm going to move quickly so that we can get these chairs set up. But look, we met for more than a business meeting tonight. We met more than just setting up chairs. We met more than just coming in to mark it off a duty or let's just kind of get through. No, friend, if we're sincere tonight, we came to meet with Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Listen, friend, if we ever come in and we're just kind of checking off a duty and we're just coming in and we're just here and okay, let's get it over with. 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, let's be done. Friend, look, there's a lot of other meetings out there that you could go and have fun and meet and be done right on time. You and I ought to sincerely desire to want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a massive part of that is relying on the Holy Spirit. You and I ought to welcome the Holy Spirit in this place. You and I ought to pray that the Holy Spirit so gets in here that He begins to work and He begins to convict and He begins to encourage. Look, I know it's a Wednesday night. I know that we're dealing with a lot of death in the church. I know that we're dealing with sickness and we're dealing with, nobody wants to see red numbers up there. We like black numbers and we want to be in the positive and not the negative in a bank account. But friend, look, even if we look at all the negative that is around us, and trust me, I get it. My heart is very heavy this evening. Well, let me just put it this way. We ought to even more rely on the Holy Spirit during these hard times. Amen? Rely on Him. He's going to get us through. He's going to encourage us. Let me just remind us tonight. You don't need to be reminded, but I'm going to do it anyways. This world is not our home. If you believe that, say amen. We're just kind of passing through. We're here for a little while. We act like we're here forever. And sometimes my wife, even tonight, for the service was encouraging this preacher that, look, we're here for a little while, then it's over. It's not easy burying a 44-year-old today. And then Saturday, go to a funeral of another 40-year-old man, both healthy and good, and man, with families and kids and serving God. Let me just tell you something, friend. Do we comprehend, understand all that? No, we don't. But I'll tell you this. We're going to see Jeremy and Daniel again very soon. Now, I'm trying to get us going a little bit here tonight, but I'm not interested ever in pastoring a church that we are just a country club. I'm interested in what the Holy Spirit has to tell us. Sometimes it's convicting. Sometimes we got to change. Sometimes we got to get things right. At times it's that encouragement. But friend, listen very carefully. You and I ought to pray that the Holy Spirit gets in this place every single time we meet. You see, first of all, we saw solid pastors, but also we see solid decisions. Look at verse number 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. You see, they received the word, the gospel, despite opposition and persecution. Remember, friend, the unbelieving Jews that opposed Paul provoked some of the city's troublemakers that were against him, and the persecution became so heavy in Acts chapter number 17 and verses number 4 through 10. It became so heavy and it became so life-threatening to Paul that he had to be dismissed. He had to get out. But yet what I love is that the gospel still bore fruit. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12 says, "For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Friend, listen very carefully. Nothing Absolutely nothing should keep a person from receiving the word of the gospel, not even opposition and or persecution. You see, friend, I don't mean to kind of heap more onto us, but I do just kind of want to warn the flock tonight. The world and culture and society, they're not rooting us on as Christians. They're not for us, as we saw this past Sunday night. Look, whether it be YouTube or Google or Prime, Amazon, all these things, Nike, Starbucks, they're not for us, friend. They're not rooting us on. They're not cheering us, to be honest with you. They're very much against you and I. But friend, let me put it this way. May it never stop our witness from going out. May you and I never become so low or become so scared or fearful or the persecution. And or let me just put it this way. Maybe it is that bully. Maybe it is that person that was mean, or maybe it was that person that was not kind. But friend, look, I'm going to put this as easy as I can. Life is too short. It's too short to allow the pettiness of this world get you and I down from getting the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place, around this place. I'm talking everywhere. It's too short. Now, do I get it? Of course, I'm a pastor. Hearts are heavy. It's not easy. Funerals aren't easy. I just be honest with you, I hate COVID. I'm just going to put it out there, okay? I'll let y'all argue all day long over masks and all the other nonsense, but I'm just gonna give you my hard time. I hate it. I can't stand it. I'm not going to let it get me down to the point that my gospel light is hid from a lost and dying world. The gospel has to go out. The gospel needs to be spread. It's a decision that they made. They were facing persecution like our brothers and sisters in Christ in Afghanistan were facing persecution. It wasn't, we're gonna not allow you to be on Facebook or Twitter for a little while. That's not the persecution we're talking about. We are talking about they were losing their lives. And yet the gospel was still going forward. And friend, I'm going to encourage us this evening. Although we may be down and although we may get discouraged, friend, we are not out of this fight. Jesus Christ is still seated on the throne. He is not surprised by 2020 or 2021 or the deaths this past week. In fact, 9 teenagers were saved because of it. Amen. Now we can rejoice over that. Let's just remember, we're going to see our brothers in Christ again one day. But there were 9 decisions. 11 people over the last 6 weeks have been saved right here. We can rejoice over that. Amen. Help me out. Don't. And I think sometimes we let the Pentecostals take our amen away. But let's just rejoice in God a little bit. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't speak in tongues, but I'm going to praise God with the tongue I got. Amen. Listen, friend, you and I have got to allow that gospel decision to continue to go. But look at verse number 6. Look what it says. With joy of the Holy Ghost. Man, we ought to underline that. The Holy Spirit rewarded the believer's commitment to Christ. He stirred joy in the hearts of their lives, giving them full assurance of their eternal salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness of all our spirit, and we the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, don't tune out, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we have suffered with him, that we may be also glorified. Friend, don't let this world get you and I down. I understand that it's scary out there. I understand that there's a lot of threats out there. I understand maybe we don't like the politicians that are in office. But friend, my goodness, we cannot let that discourage us. You and I have a home in heaven, and it is coming. Let our joy be in Jesus Christ. Don't y'all love good news? Well, somebody, don't you like good news? You can at least shake your head. I mean, I don't know. I don't like, okay, fine. Let me just talk to those of us who are actually normal and like good news. Here's some good news for you tonight. If you're saved, say amen. Here's better news. You can't lose it. Now, that ought to put a smile on our face, amen? Well, Pastor, you mean you're one of these once saved, always saved? Absolutely, 100%. It's biblical. It's in the Word of God. You can't take it from me. Nobody can steal it. It's in His Word. I am sealed. I'm going to be there. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not going anywhere. When they read Thomas Cooper Shepherd, I'm going to stand there under the blood of Jesus Christ and enjoy heaven for all of eternity. Oh, yeah. That's me. Didn't have a great day, just to be honest with you, but I'll smile because I'm going to heaven. Don't let anybody take your joy. Well, I'm telling you, Brother George, you came in and didn't shake my hand tonight, and you were talking to visitors, and I'm the pastor of the church. And I just said, look, as foolish as that sounds, that's what we allow people to do in our life. I'm sorry, you're going to let a circumstance take your joy, the joy that God gave us? We going to let pettiness of this world take our joy? Politicians take our joy? I don't care if Republican or Democrat. We going to let that? Is that what really our joy is based on? A politician? God forbid. You know what it ought to be based on? We're saved. We're going to heaven. What a God you and I serve. The joy was still in this church that's being persecuted, why their faith was in Him. But let's go back up to the beginning of this verse. Verse number 6, and look at it. It says this. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. One other fact is important here is the believers became followers of Paul and Christ. The word follow in our English language means this, to imitate, to imitate. It's that word that when you're around somebody long enough, you begin to be more like them. And I've used the illustration before that Tommy is like me. Brother Eric, your son is like you. We comprehend. Brother Bryce, you are like Brother Sean. Why? You're around him. You like his teams, and you like what he likes. And why? Because Bryce, that's your dad. You're around him. I'm not like your dad, and your dad's not like me. And Bryce, you're not like me. But that time together molds that person. And the word follow here is that same imitation. They're around that person. They begin to take on that attitude, that attribute. They begin to follow like them. And here the Bible says that you became followers of us and of, I love the wording here, and of the Lord. You and I, now listen very carefully, watch. You and I ought to have spiritual leaders in our life that we follow. We ought to have men in our life and women in our life that we look up to. And our teenagers aren't in here tonight, but I said a little bit Sunday night, and I just kind of, as our parents tonight, friend, look, there are a lot of influences in your kids' lives out there and in your grandkids and in your great-grandkids' lives. If there was ever a time to give them some role models, some Christian role models, that time is now. Have men in your life that you love. Have men that you listen to and on a podcast or listen to on the radio. Have those influences in our own personal lives. But I'm just going to put it very frank tonight. May that influence in our life, and there are men in my life that I dearly love. My dad is on the prayer list tonight. You pray for him. He struggled. He had COVID about 3 weeks ago, and he's still. He's the first phone call I make. He was the best man in my wedding, and I love my dad dearly. But let me put it this front of what thus saith the Lord. A man is a follower of Jesus, and Paul often said, and the Word of God often says, listen very carefully, be your followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. The Bible says, be their followers of God as dear children, Colossians, and ye have therefore received Christ Jesus your Lord, so walk ye in Him. Hebrews puts it like this, that ye be them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. May it always be watched now that you and I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are men like the under-shepherd that have been put there as guidance and direction. But friend, let me just put it this way. May we never come to a place in America like we we've seen in the past, and even to this day, where all of a sudden the man of God kind of elevates himself to this position of, look at me, follow me. I don't care what the Bible says. This is my standard and my preference, and you're going to do it my way. Friend, that is extremely dangerous. It's contrary to the Word of God. May the man of God always follow and keep his eyes on Jesus, and the final authority in his life is the Word of God. Then, as those men are following Christ, we have those that have their eye on him, but he's constantly, watch now, pointing to the one who died on Calvary. If that makes sense, say amen. Is solid pastors, and we see a solid decision, but also we see a solid testimony. Look at verse number 7. Wow, where is the time going? I was going to let out early. Sorry about that. We're just going to keep moving here for just a minute. So, verse number 7, look out with me. So that you were in samples of all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, and not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. So that we need not to speak anything. You see, the model church became examples to others. This is a striking point, that this young church was so committed to the Lord that their testimony spread all over the globe. What a glorious testimony. What a dynamic example of witnessing. Friend, may that always continually be you and I. Our desire is that we're constantly splashing Jesus. We're constantly sharing the gospel. You and I are constantly handing out tracts. You and I are constantly inviting others. Look very carefully. Watch up here. Now listen. Every generation, the methods by which the gospel is spread is constantly changing. It's always changing. Some of you who have pastored foe you to testify, and you back me up on this, for many years, the way that the gospel spread, I'm sure, well, definitely in the South, but I'm sure here in the Midwest as well, was always by door knocking. Do you remember the days, some of you have been in church a long time, you went door to door, you knocked on people's door, and hey, I'm Pastor Shepherd, want to invite you to Crosspoint Baptist Church, we got a dynamic youth group, and blah, 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 and that's how we invited church. In fact, Pastor Foe, I would go as far to say, Pastor Fitzgerald, you have personally led people to the Lord on their front porch. Is that correct, Pastor Foe? You remember the days, I mean, you would knock, Pastor Dan, maybe you remember, you knocked on people's doors, and they literally get saved on their front porch. That's not happening anymore. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I've got a Ring doorbell, and that Ring doorbell goes off, and I hear it literally on my watch. And if it's on somebody I know, I'm like, just not go to the door. Why? Well, we're an exterminator. We like to spray. Well, we're a yard guy. You need a gazebo in the back. We'd like to build. You know, it's constant. It's just constant. Nobody goes to their door anymore. We don't even like people at our door anymore. We've heard too many horror stories because of YouTube now. But every culture, it's changing. But let me put it this way. The wrapping may change, but what's on the inside of that wrapper, the inside of that present, the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change. We hand out water bottles. Pastor Dan, we had some visitors that from folks that, who would have ever thought we'd hand out water bottles and people would come to church? The gospel's still the same. And the responsibility, church, you and I, I haven't joined the church yet. No, the Great Commission is to you and me. If you're saved tonight, you and I have been commissioned to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are commanded, go out. You and I are commanded. Friend, I'm not going to go to meddling. I don't even have time tonight. But I'm here to tell you, if we put as much time in to praying for those who are not saved as we put in to those who are sick, we might actually see some real people come to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Pastor Dan, I think it was you, or maybe Pastor Chris, that brought that up a couple weeks ago. We pray for a lot of sick people. We pray for saved people to stay here. And yet, how much time do we really take praying for somebody to get a hold of the gospel and affect their heart? And I'm telling you that, where are the Christians that are going to take serious the gospel? Take serious praying for someone. Deb Fulfer's here. Deb, I didn't ask you permission to say this, so I'll ask for forgiveness later, but Deb Fulford's here, and Deb sitting beside you is Miss Michelle. I sat in your office twice. Both of those times we were praying for Michelle, and one of those times you begin to cry talking about your friend coming to church. I'll just go ahead and tell you, Michelle got saved about 2 weeks ago. Praise the Lord. Where's our Sunday school teachers who are going to weep? Where's our deacons who are going to weep? Where's our pastors who are going to weep over the lost? Where's the church? We're so concerned about all the politics. We're so concerned about what Facebook is doing. We're so concerned about who did this, and they did this, and my parking spot. Oh, we can't read this, and we can't do this. And we get so caught up with this world. Where are the Christians that are going to say, you know what? I'm going to have such a testimony, and I'm going to be so involved, and I'm going to have such a prayer life that those around me, watch very carefully, they're affected. Their decision making is pointed towards God, and they make a life changing decision for Jesus Christ. We see here also a solid conversion. Look at verse number 9. I'm almost done. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now watch, and I'm almost done. The model church turned to God from idols. Think about this. They turned to God from idols, not from idols to God. This, for anyone who is a discipler, you ought to write this down. It was just 1 week ago, Brother Hughes, we're praying, and we're trying to witness. We had a man over here in this next room over, and I'm not ready. I got to get some things right, and I begin to explain. You don't try to get better to go see the doctor. You go to the doctor to get better. You don't try to get rid of your sin, and then when I'm a good person, I'll go to God. No, you just turn to God and let Him forgive you of your sins. They did not seek to clean up their own lives by themselves. They did not try to reform themselves by turning away from idols and then turning to God. They turned to God first. Oh, what then, with God's help and strength, they repented and turned away from idols. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3:19, Acts 8:22, over and over and over again, we see this turning to the Lord. And tonight, I understand, as we talk to, really, I'm sure even our online audience, we're talking to a saved group of people. But I just want to encourage us and or warn us, watch very carefully, now that we are saved, be careful about the idols in our life. So I want to warn us tonight, be careful. Gentlemen, NFL, college football, what's an idol? An idol is something that we put above God. We can sit and we can watch a two-hour game and we'll spend 4 minutes in the Word of God. Gentlemen, men, be careful. Ladies, we can sit there and we can scroll Prime all night long looking for that deal or Overstock or whatever. You all get on and do all your shop. Just be careful about putting an idol above God. May you and I, yes, we're secure in our salvation. Yes, we know our Savior. But in the world that we live in, it is very easy to allow certain social media content, to allow certain, whether it be Prime or Hulu or Netflix or Disney Plus, whatever it might be, be careful about putting things above our relationship with the Lord. But look at verse number 10, and we're done. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The word wait is in the present tense here. This means that their hope for the return of Christ was alive. This church expected Christ to return at any moment, and they eagerly looked to the skies for Him to come back. Their expectation was a daily expectation. Friend, I'm done. Let me say this. Do you believe the Lord's coming back? Say amen. Amen. But if we knew He was coming back tomorrow, how different would our life be? Do you and I comprehend that he could come back tomorrow? He really could. How cool would that be? I mean, it'd be pretty awesome. One of our teenagers, they're not in here, so I could say this. I will never tell you her name, but she said, "Pastor, is it wrong? I just don't want him to come back. And I have my life in front of me, and I want to go to college. I encouraged her. I've heard told the story in here. I prayed that God would not come back the day before I was about to get married. I just knew I was going to be at that altar, and when Carrie and I were holding hands, and I just knew this was my worst nightmare, that they were going to say, I now pronounce you husband and wife. Thomas, you may now kiss your bride. And I was going to lean in to kiss Carrie, and God was going to come back. Wouldn't that just have been awful? I literally prayed, Lord, please don't come back. Let me get married. and he didn't. But nonetheless, there's a teenager that said, Pastor, I don't want to come back. No, we're looking for that blessed hope. And I encourage him. It's okay. I know life is good, and we've got great things. But what is to come is so great. The fellowship, the worship, the bowing on our knees. The crying out, holy, holy, holy. Friend, I know it's dark right now. But tonight I'm going to encourage us, go home. Don't turn on the local news. Don't turn on the TV at all. Stay off Instagram for a little bit. Just stay off Facebook. Yeah, just stay off it. Just for tonight. And talk to somebody about God coming back. Ask somebody, a spouse, a friend, a neighbor. Call somebody, text somebody, a son, a daughter. What are you most excited about God coming back? Oh, I'm excited. No more tears, no more pain, no more this. We get to see grandma, grandpa, whatever. Let's just keep our eyes on the prize, friend. Amen. I know our hearts are heavy, it's dark. But he's coming back. He's coming. Let's just hold on. We're going to be here. We're going to occupy. We're going to move forward. We're just going to keep piling on the parking lots out here till he comes back. Are you with me, friend? To understand, let's just keep moving on for him. Because before he comes back, there's somebody who needs your testimony. Somebody needs to get saved. Somebody needs to bow their head. Somebody needs to cry that cry that all of us in here have cried. Lord, save me. What a church.